state of crisis.
They're going to be here any minute.
The decision to quarantine all those infected was not taken without careful consideration.
Step down, ma'am. You're not blind.
This vehicle is for the infected.
No, you have to take me.
Hello, guys and girls, and welcome to your weekly escape from insanity. The world has gone mad, and we're not talking about the COVID pandemic this time. Let's take our mind off things and enjoy some music together and the stories behind it. For the next hour, your soul belongs to us, and it will be immersed in goth and darkness. We're gonna kick it off with an infected classic. So sit back and enjoy this beautiful track by Gary Jules featuring Michael Andrews. It's called Mad World.
Infected Classic.
I really like about this song is when they sing Mad World, you kind of hear a vocoder.
Yeah.
Or some kind of synth sound over it that you pick up.
Yeah. That's beautiful, right? This is the Infected Classic for this week, Mad World. And it's a great song, originally written by Tears for Fears, of course. And this is a song from back when Roland, the singer of Tears for Fears, was just an unemployed guy, strumming his acoustic guitar all day long. He was sitting by the window of his apartment in the center of Bath, watching the world go by when he wrote this. And it certainly is a sad song, although it's not about suicide as many think. Granted, he does sing, "The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had," but that is not actually a suicide reference. It is a reference to the psychologist Dr. Arthur Janov, writer of the famous book Primal Scream. And his work inspired much more of the work of our friends of Tears for Fears. So the explanation here is that Arthur Janov says that some of the most dramatic dreams we have release the most tension. So if you have a really dramatic dream, like one wherein you're dying, you can wake up feeling a lot better. So that is what the song is referencing.
I wouldn't have thought this would be the explanation, because I thought it was heavy and depressed, just like it was about suicide, actually, but interesting.
He explained that back in the day when Roland was sitting in his apartment, his wife was actually doing three jobs, paying for everything. And he was the artist that was misunderstood. So there's definitely some of that melancholy in the song. I like both versions of this track. I also like the Tears for Fears version. But I personally like Gary Jules version better, since the mood goes much better with the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think so too. It seems like he's taking more time for this song than Tears for Fears did. And also, I cannot see this song apart from the movie Donnie Darko. And then you have the benefit of great music and also images to make it even more powerful, I think. Because I think that's also the reason why this song became that popular, because of the movie. It was 2002, you mentioned, or 2004. What was it again?
This song, 2003.
Yeah. 2003, yeah. I think these guys took more time to get the mood across than the original one, but I can't decide which one is better.
Yes, what's funny is that Motorhead's Lemmy Kilmister talked about Tears for Fears when he was talking about death in one of his final interviews back in 2015. And Lemmy back then already knew his end was near, but he never wanted to quit. So he joked that he might come back to haunt musicians. And he said, what? Life after death? No. I'll have to stop then, I think. But you never know, I could haunt somewhere, mess up somebody else's gig. Probably a Tears for Fears concert, come to think of it.
From unemployed, waiting for gigs, and his wife working, he's come a long way together with his partner in crime, those guys from Tears for Fears. I'm not sure if they're still active, because I thought they split up after the third album, Sowing the Seeds of Love. They did some solo work, they split up.
I guess so. Yeah, lots of the work that they've done, like Shout, is also referencing this work of the primal scream therapy. Shout, Shout, Let It All Out. So it's very much influenced by that psychology background. The work of Janov is also a big inspiration to John Lennon, who has actually recorded an entire album inspired by the work of this psychologist. So apparently Mr. Janov has been the muse of several great artists from the 70s and 80s.
Interesting background, Jeroen. So I also have something that I dug up. It's quite an obscurity. It's a band that's called Car Crash Set, and they were a pioneering electronic synth and wave band from New Zealand. And they don't have a Wikipedia page, but I managed to find enough background information to paint an interesting enough picture. Didn't find that much. I didn't know, but it appears that many successful bands came from New Zealand in the 80s, albeit that most of them were one-day flies, like Kaja Goo Goo. You remember
that
one? That band?
Yeah, he had two hits, okay. I think. Two hits. Too Shy and another one, but there we go already.
Yeah. Quick off your feet that you can name that song. I recognized the band name, couldn't name a song immediately. But anyway, Car Crash Set was among them and also quickly disappeared from the stage. Which is strange, because their debut 12-inch single featured three songs that are really great, in my humble opinion. And they should have been able to build it from there, I guess. But little bit of background on the band. It was founded by Nigel Russell, and they arrived to the scene that was dominated by British post-punk bands in the early 80s. And the idea to play live was not something that appealed to them. And they only took the stage five times in total. That's not much. They just didn't want to put on a show or be entertaining on stage. All things taken into account, and after hearing their music, it's kind of a mystery why they weren't signed by a major label in that time. Also, when hearing their music, you can immediately recognize the typical 80s touch that will remind you of numerous bands like New Order, that was also a big source of inspiration to Car Crash Set, OMD, and also the vocals made me think about Mark Almond from Soft Cell in some tracks. Car Crash Set was into the real true spirit of 80s electro and wave formations. They mainly used synthesizers. Some tracks also had guitars in them, and I think that's when they really shine, together with the charismatic singing of Russell. And I must say, this band really doesn't have an own sound identity. They're not doing anything unique. They were more into emulating famous bands from that time, and together with their unwillingness to perform, that could be the reason why they didn't break through and weren't signed by major labels. Anyway, I still like them very much, and the track we're about to play is on their one and only album from 1984 called No Accident, and the song is called Heart of Stone. We'll be right back. So that was Car Crash Set from New Zealand.
Yeah, they sound like a lot of different bands a little bit, but I think the song is pretty strong in its own right.
I have to agree. You also mentioned that you picked up on Depeche Mode.
Yeah, I think it's a singer. He has this sort of phrasing which gives me a Depeche Mode vibe, but it's also the bubbly, poppy, I don't know, synth pop popcorn sound that...
Yeah, maybe. Also the funky programmed drum machine that you hear, like up-tempo.
Yeah, yeah.
I totally get what you're saying.
Early Depeche Mode then, you know, like Tora Tora, that age.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool track. Nice band. I also never heard of Car Crash Set, so we just keep on finding new stuff from way back. Let's see if we can escape from the previous century this time in this episode. I'll do my best later on.
Yeah, still stuck again in the 80s, and I believe we have something more fresh and new coming up.
Well, we have to, right? Because otherwise we're going to come across as a very sad old man who we're only looking at way back. We're taking you out of the way back machine and we're putting you into the here and now, face forward towards the future, because right now we're going to be playing a song by Metacross. Metacross is a one-man act. It's a Russian guy called Peter Cross, probably also his artist name. We've come across his music on Instagram. He reached out, we had some really nice contact, and this ended in a great interview that we've done with Metacross, Peter Cross, who told us everything about his inspiration, the way he looks at the world, where the music is coming from, and how he manages to do that.
Hey, this is Metacross, and you're listening to The Infected. Next up is our song, Bulletproof. Enjoy!
So this came out just last month in September 2020. It's a track from the album called Limbo, and we were fortunate enough to be able to do an interview with Peter Cross, which is now live on our website, theinfected.nl. And Peter told us he admires characters who keep going no matter what, and in some of his songs this theme is reflected, and it does sound like Bulletproof is one of those songs. In Peter's own words, "I hope Bulletproof will energize you and give you strength. Keep moving forward. If you believe in yourself, you really are Bulletproof."
Well, strength and energy are very fitting, I think. It's like EBM, electronic body music. It's got a certain energy. It's like you're marching towards an attack or something, or on the battlefield almost. And that's what EBM tends to do. It should give you energy on a physical level. I really like it. It's a nice find.
It's cool, huh?
Yeah.
So about the artist, he says, "I'm just a guy trying to break out of the personal limbo inside me. I don't really think that I'm different from other people at all, to be honest. But when some people see me on the street wearing black and all, my outfit may seem weird to them. Yet, that's how I feel and who I am. Who says that military shoes are heavy anyway? I just feel comfortable like this." And these days I value personal freedom and independence more, especially after the coronavirus. Mostly I get my energy from outside sources, like listening to new music, taking a walk, or just socializing. And sometimes I do find it hard to keep working on my music, to keep going, because of my depressions. But when that happens, one of my oldest friends keeps arguing with me and he keeps pushing me. Without him, I would never have finished my album. This guy just motivated me to keep making progress. Okay, mostly by yelling at me, but still, I'm thankful for it.
That's right.
And so are we, right? We're thankful to this friend for his support, because without it, we might not have been able to play Bulletproof.
Thanks for being such a drill instructor to Peter and unleash this power.
So thanks, friend of Peter, whoever you are. And also thank you, Metacross, for the music. Check out Metacross on Spotify. You can find the complete interview and the link to his music at theinfected.nl.
I will definitely check out more by this guy, because I've been listening to this track over the last week and it kept on getting better and better. That's a good sign.
It grows on you, right?
Yes,
I had
it
the
does.
Same thing. It definitely grows on you.
Yeah. I'm intrigued to find out more from Metacross.
The Infected.
And after this piece of power, I'm going to take it back again. I'm going to draw you back into the water like a crocodile draws a prey into the water before he kills it. We're going to go back to the 80s again, ladies and gentlemen. Oh yes, I'm sorry. And I'm talking about The Damned with the song In Dulce Decorum, which we'll play in a moment. And In Dulce Decorum loosely translates from Latin to "It is sweet and honorable." But then in the context of dying for your country, that is sweet and honorable. It's also the title of a poem from 1920 by Wilfred Owen. And in the beginning of the track, you can also hear a part of a speech by Winston Churchill to the House of Commons as the Battle of Britain began on the 18th of June in 1940. So a little bit of background about The Damned. I'm sure you know them. You know them, Jeroen.
Yeah.
And also our listeners. It's quite funny that critics at the time said that punk was only going to last maybe 6 months. And some of these bands are still around after 40 years, like The Damned, because they're still active, they're performing, they're putting out music. And bands, especially these punk bands, they were not supposed to improve with age. They're supposed to burn brightly and then fade away. That's the accepted modus operandi. But The Damned, yeah, they're still out there. And they are an English rock band formed in London, England in 1976 by lead vocalist Dave Vanian. And they were one of the first punk bands ever. And during the 80s, they shifted more towards gothic rock. And in fact, they were setting the tone within that genre, as they did in the punk era. And also during those years, the singer Dave adopted a vampire-like appearance on stage with chalk-white makeup on his face and a formal dress. And also they made an appearance on the TV show The Young Ones. You remember that?
Yeah.
With that punk guy, Vivian, with his red...
Vivian, yeah.
Red spiked hair.
The studs
hair.
In his forehead.
Yes, those star-shaped studs in his forehead. However, not all of the work of The Damned turned out to be a commercial success. And one track in particular was successful, and that was this one. And it was also featured on the immensely popular TV show Miami Vice. And it was, you can hear it in the third season to be exact, in the episode Walk Alone. It was an instrumental version, and that's also the one we're going to play now. That's not on Spotify. And I like it better without the vocals, to be really honest. So let's check it out, shall we?
Bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, this was their flight tower.
We'll be right back.
God, I love this song, man.
Yeah, me too.
Really, really great.
Glad you liked it.
Definitely. The bass line is something that has been nicked by at least five other bands after them. I could try and figure out which ones, but it's definitely been inspirational to many bands. And I think The Damned are one of those punk bands that eventually were less liked by the punk scene because they actually learned to play and they actually started producing their albums well, which sort of wasn't the idea with punk, right? You can hear this is probably later. It's like when they were 10 years into the game or something, late 80s, is it?
84 or 5, I think 84. Not sure.
We can look that up, but you can hear that they're really trying to make it sound well and they really built a great song. The only thing is this version is without the lyrics. You're sort of missing the message of In Dulce Decorum, which is, it's an anti-war song, right? Mm-hmm. And it is referencing to this typical British tradition of sending boys into war and asking them to behave like gentlemen. There's many stories about this, like in 1916 when in Belgium a whole army of boys were sent out, told to walk towards the enemy. Not run, but walk towards them in an orderly fashion, just getting mowed down and just sending more out there, because to do it the British way was more important than to do it with less losses. This sort of philosophy of Britishness is In Dulce Decorum is what it's about.
Wow.
But even without the lyrics, I love the track.
I totally agree. And I didn't realize it was that much of an anti-war song because, you know me, I don't listen to the lyrics that much.
Well, it's kind of hard in this version, so I don't blame you.
That's true. I have here four DVD sets of Miami Vice, and I've been watching them actually during the summer. I've been binging it, and I came across it, and it was the instrumental version, and I thought, well, wow, this is a great one. But thanks for adding.
Okay, so I found something great. First, I want to know, did you see the video clip that goes with this track?
I didn't, but I'm going to do right now in the background.
Because that's really worthwhile. I'll look up the link. I will put it on our website, theinfected.nl, in the show notes, so you can check out this video as well. So the Mysterines is another really fresh band. And this track, I Win Every Time, is from May 2020, so also very, very recent. Yes, we also actually play new stuff, not just one track. But yeah, so about the Mysterines. They're a young band from Liverpool. The lead singer and the lead guitarist is Leah Metcalf. And she has been performing live since she was 13 years old. And her stage presence is fierce. And the Mysterines' debut EP, Take Control, was released last year, 2019. And they've been quite successful for a young band from Liverpool. They recently supported British rockers Royal Blood on their tour. And recently, Leah has signed a publishing deal with Domino Records, which is also home to the Arctic Monkeys, for instance. So let's listen to I Win Every Time.
You
This one clocks in just below 3 minutes, so that places it in the golden zone of power.
Yeah, it's only 10 seconds too long, according to your theory.
Yes, you're very, very well noted. And there's a lot of power here, and I'm glad you pointed out the video, because I immediately sat up right in my chair, because she's in her underwear, screaming and dancing and smoking as well in a room. I like it. And also, I believe you mentioned they're from Liverpool.
Yep.
Echo and the Bunnymen was also maybe from Liverpool, but apart from that...
I think there's this band called the Beatles who were from Liverpool.
Oh, were they? Sorry, I don't know.
And of course, Gary and the Pacemakers.
What is there in the water that gets these people in Liverpool and Manchester to make such great music?
Maybe it's the rivalry between Manchester and Liverpool. I don't know, man. Of course, I know that you're not a great lyrics man, but I think you can't have helped noticing that she's singing about somebody who's winning all the time. Did you also pick up on who is winning every time?
No. I was too busy looking at this girl jumping around in her underwear. I can only do one thing at a time. I can't listen and look at the sense. I'm sorry. But please enlighten me.
I can't blame you, man. The lyrics are pretty repetitive. And it's a song that's really about energy. If you pay close attention, you will notice that she says, "I bet you hell, I bid you Christ. Even Robert Johnson said, I'd win every time." Now, this is referencing Robert Johnson, who is the famous godfather of blues music.
Oh.
The man who was at the crossroads and allegedly sold his soul to Satan and started to play the blues suddenly at a level that nobody else could reach. A very famous story amongst musicians, Robert Johnson, a very famous figure. So having sold his soul to Satan, you understand that her reference, "Even Robert Johnson said I'd win every time," shows you that this song is about the devil. The devil wins every time.
Also reminds me of the beautiful track you played a couple of episodes earlier by the Stone Roses. "I don't need to sell my soul, he's already in me."
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's a great reference as well. Although Stone Roses are from Manchester, so probably the other side of the tracks. Let's call it that.
Okay.
Glad you liked it. And they'll be doing a full concert in a live stream show on the 17th of October. So that's a little over 10 days from now.
Mm-hmm.
The live stream admission is €10. The band is very keen, as they can't wait to get back to playing and to show all the new stuff they've been working on. You can watch the live stream or restream it afterwards. Look for the Close Encounter Club online.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can, of course, find the link in the show notes on theinfected.nl. So let's support these artists. It's hard enough for bands these days, and especially younger bands, to keep doing what they love and keep bringing us this music. So everybody, tune in and take a look at the show of the Mysterines.
Cool. Good tip.
The Infected.
And I also brought one final track that we'll be playing right now, and it is from 1999. Not the 80s, but still the past decade. And it is made by a Japanese guy called Akira Yamaoka. And the song is called Alone in the Town. And before we play it, because I think it's a very moody one to wave off with. But you may have noted that we've played the music from the video game Silent Hill 2 since the beginning of our podcast, but as background music. And that was also made by Akira Yamaoka. So shame on us, because I think it's beautiful music. It's time to honor the team of Konami, the game developers, and especially Akira, and bring his music a little bit to the forefront. I'm gonna do so right now. So in 1998, a team was formed to make a survival horror game that could compete with the popular Resident Evil at the time. Are you a gamer?
Oh yeah, I love gaming.
Yeah? You know these games like Resident Evil and Silent Hill? Heard of them, played them? Or?
Yeah, I've played Resident Evil. It's not my favorite genre, but they're classics, man. They're classics.
Yes, they are. And within Konami, the team Silent was formed. It was a group of developers that had failed at their previous project. So these people were very talented, but not able to work in a fast-paced environment. As it turned out, they just were slower than the others, and they were not motivated to make big blockbuster-like video games. They wanted to create games with intimate emotions. And they got the opportunity. So for Silent Hill, rather than having a lead character that is a soldier or someone with supernatural capabilities, they chose an everyman, an average but sympathetic and relatable character. And they put him into a creepy and silent town that is under a perpetual fog and filled with evil creatures. It's very, very, very moody. And it features plenty of psychosexual images. There's a lot of tension, but subtle and haunting instead of in your face and blunt. So the mix of sex and violence, but also a lot of good suspense and a sense of total isolation make it a great game in my opinion. The opening level also really adds to that, because you have to walk for 10 or 15 minutes on a path that leads you through the woods, and it constantly has you looking over your shoulder or doubting yourself, is this the right way, am I supposed to go this way? But then you are rewarded by entering the town, fog drenched in Silent Hill after 10 minutes. So that really literally isolates you in the early stages of the game. I think it's really well done.
Doesn't that creep you out?
Yeah, it does. It does. I like that.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah.
with the lights out and my headphones on really loud and kind of an intense experience. And the song Alone in the Town is played midway through the game when leaving a deserted bowling alley. So you walk in Silent Hill after clearing a boss stage or something evil, and you hear this song as a reward. It's awesome. And you also hear the Twin Peaks bass from that soundtrack, or for Berlin. Takes my breath away. And also Commodores with Night Shift have this bassy sound in it. It's a lightly modified preset of the Yamaha DX7 synthesizer. I'll let you listen to it because we're going to play it right now.
Let's.
So, Jeroen, the risk of selecting this song, it's quite of a personal experience. Also, again, a mix of experiencing the game with this music that kind of stuck in my mind. I'm not expecting you to like it or bounce your head to it, but I just thought to bring it to the forefront a little bit, because the other tracks on the soundtrack are just soundscapes, basically, that are ideal for putting in the background. When we talk, for instance, and you put some mood in the background.
I really, really like this song, and this guy is something of a legend. While I was listening, looked him up online, and he's still producing soundtracks for video games. He's done 3 already this year. He's very, very, very productive. A fun thing is, I was looking for his musical style and influences, because I hear so many things in a short time period. He has a sort of a rock way of building a track, even though it's not rock music and there's no guitars in it. Lo and behold, I look up his musical style and influences, and I see him in an interview citing Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails as his main inspiration, both in music and in performing. He mentions Angelo Badalamenti.
Yes.
Who you, of course, know.
Twin Peaks, there we go.
Yeah.
So it was maybe not a coincidence that
that was no coincidence
Twin Peaks was in there. Okay.
Furthermore, he mentions Metallica and Depeche Mode. This guy could be one of our really great friends, man.
Yes, I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
All green check marks there.
Yeah, definitely. And he has been influenced when he was younger, when he was in art college. He was listening to Mick Garn of Japan and Steve Strange of Visage. I mean, this guy is born in the same year that I am. I need to go look up this guy. We need to sit down, drink sake or whiskey, whatever, and start playing records together. This guy is an amazing legacy of video games that he's produced music for, not just creepy stuff, also soccer games, puzzle games, whatever. He's very versatile, but definitely somebody who's interesting to investigate a little further.
Thanks, I'm glad you liked it. There's one thing more.
Ah.
There's also a movie.
The Big Picture.
And this movie is from 2006, and it's very worthwhile because the lead character is played by Sean Bean, well-known actor, and most video games that are turned into a movie are cringe-worthy, to say the least.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard of Doom, the movie, or Duke Nukem, or Street Fighter, or also like more recent stuff, but this one really sticks really close to what made the game so great.
Yeah.
It also helped that the director was a big fan of the game as well. If you don't know the game, the movie is still really kick-ass to see, scary as hell. And you can pick it up at your local thrift store for €1. I see them laying around frequently. I'm not sure they are on Netflix. It was on Netflix, but they tend to switch movies and series every quarter or so. Highly recommend it, guys. Check it out.
Silent Hill, the movie.
Yes.
And the funny thing is that you picked this song from Silent Hill 2. And even in 2009, in an interview, when asked what his favorite composition of all time was, he still mentioned Silent Hill 2 as his best work. I love the atmosphere in the track. It's
that brings a smile to my face. You know that? Because it's kind of a personal favorite, and I'm also glad you liked it. So this brings us to the end of our podcast for this week. Unfortunately, time flies when you're having fun.
Let us know how you liked this episode, or which song you would like to hear on the show. Just use the contact form on our awesome site at theinfected.nl. We also have a shop where we have really nice products which you can use to get through the night, and you can help us get through the night as well. You'll find our shop and merchandise at theinfected.nl. We also have some free stuff there for you, like custom Spotify playlists, a fine collection of all the songs that we ever played on the show without us blabbering on in between the songs, so maybe even better than the podcast, who knows? Ah, but then you'd miss the stories, right?
Yeah.
Once you've heard them, maybe this playlist is a nice one to check out our back catalog from a previous season where we were still podcasting in Dutch. The site also has exclusive interviews, and as of right now, when you're hearing this, you can read the entire interview with Metacross. Everything we've talked about in terms of links and pictures are now up on the website on the show notes. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe to it. It gives us a big smile on our face when we see new people subscribing from all over the world. Thank you for that. And that's all for now. Thanks for listening. It's a cloudy night without any moonlight, perfect for a few swoops around town. So we'll change into bat form now and get airborne. Goodbye, children of the night. We'll meet again.